Could you please reach for a Bible? Let's open it up to Genesis chapter 11. Welcome, Manahari. Welcome back from Sri Lanka. Good to see you. If you've been coming along the last few weeks, you know we've been going through this series in Genesis. Last week we did the end of chapter 9. In between, in chapter 10, there's this long list of family names and countries and places, and it's all really interesting, Genesis chapter 10, but I just couldn't figure out how to preach a sermon on it. So we're picking up at Genesis chapter 11, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, please give us insight into who you are and how to live a life trusting you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever watched that show on, it's on the ABC called Grand Designs? Maybe a couple of you have watched it. It tells the story, each episode tells the story of people who have invested their money and their time trying to build the home of their dreams. And I think that by nature, we humans are builders. Like, we want to reshape the world that's around us. And I think part of that impulse is that we're made in the image of God, the great builder. And even if you've never had the opportunity to build a house of your own, you still, you know, even if you've rented your whole life, I'm sure you've still had that urge to rearrange the furniture or change up the garden or do something to make it your home. We humans are not only builders as individuals, we've got a long history of big group projects. You may have heard it mentioned just once or twice that Victoria is currently in the middle of the big build as we prepare Melbourne to be home to more than 8 million people. Big projects themselves can bring people in and bring people together. And today's passage is about a great project that inspires people to join together, at least temporarily. Though in the end, it's a failed project. What we're going to do this morning is, first of all, we're going to look at the building of Babel and see how, in some ways, it's typical of all great human projects. And we'll think about what it's built around, what it's driven by, what they were seeking. And of course, we'll have to ask the question, why did it ultimately fail? And then we'll compare this great human project with another great project, God's great project. And really at the end, the take-home question that I'm going to ask you is, which great project are you investing your life in? Which grand design has captured your imagination? So, mankind's project in this passage, it seems to be made possible by a new technology, the new technology of brick making. Previously, the options were mud, not so durable, stone, not so much of it in that part of the world. And like so often, when we humans have a new technology, we're keen to use it, aren't we? We want to see how far we can take it. And so let's pick up the story, Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens." I want you to notice what this project is built around. It's built around an attempt to reach heaven from earth. Now, you might be saying, hang on a minute. Like, did they really think they could do that? Did they really think that they could build a tower that reaches heaven? Well, perhaps not literally. Archaeologists have dug up some of these old cities and they've found some interesting things. See, when we read the word tower, I don't know what pops into your mind. you might imagine something like this, something like the Eureka Tower. But back then, what most of those cities had at their center was something a bit more like that. It's what we call a ziggurat. These were kind of big triangle-shaped buildings, and at the top, they would have a temple to the gods. I think that's the idea. That's what they mean by reaching the heavens. I think the idea of this sort of triangle shape is that it resembles a mountain. Because you think back, how often in the Bible does God meet with people on top of mountains? But this is a man-made mountain. This is an attempt to meet with God created by human technology and effort. It's an attempt to meet with God on our terms in a place that's convenient for us. Now, what's driving this? Well, keep on going in verse 4. They're doing this so that we may make a name for ourselves. So it's not that people wanted to have sweet fellowship with God. It's that they wanted to be famous. They wanted to be known as the great builders who managed to storm the gates of heaven. Essentially, this is a project driven by ambition. And ambition is such a powerful motivator. Just think about the big news stories this year. Putin, you're probably sick of him, but Putin, why did he decide to invade Ukraine? Is it like, did he need money? He was already pretty much the richest guy in the world. It seems that he did it because he wants to go down in history as Vladimir the Great. Or think about Women's World Cup, soccer, happening at the moment. Why are the players competing? Is it that they want to get fit? Well, if anything, it's a chance to get injured. They're competing because they want to have that great name as the world champions. And okay, most of us won't get the opportunity to become world famous. But can you recognize within yourself maybe smaller ambitions which come out of that same competitive spirit? What are these builders seeking? Well, it says they want to make a name for themselves, otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. I mean, there's a certain degree of comfort in city life. In city life, you've got goods and services available close by. That's why like more than 80% of Aussies live in cities. There's a level of safety that comes with city life. I mean, this was a time where you've got warlords out in the countryside, but a city could be defendable. And probably like they would have thought maybe we can tap into the power of the gods. But if you've been reading this book of Genesis from the start, you'll know there's a problem here. Because remember, God told humanity to fill the earth. And that's exactly what these people are resisting. They're saying, oh, no, we don't want to do that. We want to be together in this place where it's comfortable and safe. I mean, there's nothing wrong with comfort. There's nothing wrong with security itself, but it becomes selfish when it's disobeying God. These city builders have turned inward instead of letting their lives be shaped by the mission that God gave them. And so what's the result? Well, the tower doesn't end up reaching heaven. In fact, there's this funny moment where God says, oh, I think I'm going to have to go down to have a look at it. God's not going to let the project succeed because it stands against his purposes for the world. Although it's interesting how God stops this work. I mean, God doesn't send a storm. He doesn't send an earthquake. What does he do? He confuses the languages. And there's a joke here in the original language. So see if this makes sense. Bab El means gate of God. Like, you know, this the tower is intended to be like a gateway into heaven. But instead of being known as Bab El, gate of God, it gets known as Babel, which means confusion. Maybe it's one of those jokes that you just had to be there. See, they began the project all speaking one language, but once they've got different languages, it all breaks down. I mean, which is interesting, because in theory, it is still possible to work with people who speak a different language. Like, if you've got patience, and if you've got trust, and if you've got goodwill together, you can sort out the language problem. But of course, they don't have patience and trust and goodwill. See, again, if you've been reading the book of Genesis from the start, it's all about how sin has so thoroughly affected humanity. And if this city was built on the competitive spirit, we got to be greater than everyone else, then I guess that it's only to be expected that once you've got different groups, different language groups within the city, they're going to compete instead of cooperating. The project fails because sin turns difference into division. I'll say that again. The project fails because sin turns difference into division. And actually, that's a bit of a repeating theme in human history. Great projects, great empires have managed to bring people together for a time, but eventually sin causes division. Putin, again, what's his biggest headache been in the last month? It's not so much his enemy, it's more the fact that his friends are fighting amongst each other. In the same way, what's causing the most grief in our society at the moment? It's not that we don't have enough bridges or freeways, as much as I appreciate not having to sit in traffic. No, the real pain points in Aussie life are caused by divided families and broken marriages and children who aren't talking to their parents. That's the stuff that's leading people to despair. And as a society, it's nice, it's good that we're investing in STEM, you know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, maths. Like, that's genuinely useful stuff. But also, we've got to recognize that it doesn't prevent shootings on construction sites, or house fires that have been deliberately lit, like the one around the corner, or attacks on backpackers. Who's investing in relationships and how? Who's encouraging families to love each other? Who's showing mercy to the outcast? In the end, this is a story of a human project which started so impressively, which was so technologically advanced for its time, but it fails because sin turns difference into division. Of course, we see here that God's purpose to fill the earth with his image bearers, it keeps moving on. And so let's just reflect on God's project for a moment. In our memory verse, that was all about a glimpse into where God is going with his creation. Remember, a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. God's goal is that all these different languages and cultures and people groups who scattered from Babel will be brought together around the throne of Jesus. So that all this wonderful diversity in the world is reunited without confusion. The New Testament speaks about this using the language of a building project. For example, here's, Here's a couple of verses from, this is Ephesians chapter 2, and I just want you to notice I've highlighted the building language. Listen to this. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. See, God is building his own meeting place with humans. Not made of bricks, but made of people. And it's all built around Jesus Christ. See, if the human project is about trying to reach heaven from earth, actually God's project in Jesus Christ is that he reaches earth from heaven. God came to us in human form. And in giving his life as a sacrificial lamb, remember, it's all the crowd around the throne of the lamb. That's what removes the barrier between God and us. Secondly, God's project is driven not by ambition, but by love. Jesus set aside ambition by coming low, by living as a servant, by giving his life on the cross. In Jesus, we see the love of God in action. And when we come to God through Jesus, we get to know and experience his love personally. His love overflows in our hearts. And get this, if you know, if you've experienced the love of God, it can free you from needing to make a name for yourself. See that urge that these builders had? We've got to make a name for ourselves. We've got to be someone. We've got to compete. But hang on a minute. You don't have to compete and achieve in order to be someone if you know the love of God. Because if you are in Christ, you are someone. The Creator has said, "You are precious to me." And so, actually, the result is that instead of looking around and seeing others as people that I need to compete with, we can see others as people that I can share God's love with. God's love teaches us to leave behind the self-centered life. Instead of building our lives, turning inward, being all about our own comforts, we can turn our attention to the world around us. Can build our lives around his mission to bring this gospel transformation to every language and tribe and people. I remember years ago I did a certificate as an English teacher. It was actually through La Trobe Uni, and it was as our family was preparing to go to the Middle East. And at the end of the course, some of our students were talking about, well, what do we want to do with our lives now that we have an English teaching certificate? And I shared what was on my heart about the Middle East and the divisions of the Middle East, and how instead of doing what we usually do and sending fighter jets and missiles, if we want to heal those divisions, it's got to be by love. Force will entrench division, but love can overcome division. And one of my classmates said to me, "Oh, that sounds nice, but does it actually work?" Which is an important question. Because if we look around at our city that we live in today, we can see that the power of sin is strong, that there are divisions and distrust that runs deep. But there is a confidence that we can have in God's project. A confidence that, unlike the Tower of Babel, God's project will be brought to completion. Because God's project is not just about human effort. God's project is empowered by his Spirit. Think about our second Bible reading, Acts chapter 2. So it describes what happened some days after Jesus died and rose and went up to heaven. Jesus sent his Spirit to his church. And you remember he'd said, don't go anywhere. Don't go on this mission until the Spirit comes. And on that day that Jesus sent his Spirit to the church, what happened? Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Each one heard what? What did they hear? You tell me. Their own language being spoken. Can you see how Jesus sends the church out on mission? Jesus sends his Spirit with a sign that this is the time where he's reversing the divisions of the Tower of Babel. He's undoing the Tower of Babel, not by bringing everyone back to the same language, but by bringing the gospel into every language. And this morning, look around this room. You are a living witness to the power of the Spirit to bring different nationalities, different languages, different cultures together around the throne of Jesus. Yes? And so that take-home question, which grand design do you want to invest in? What is it that's captured your imagination? Why would you go for the human project of making a name for yourself and competing against others and living for your own comfort? Why not throw yourself into God's project to build a people for his name, for his glory? As you reflect on this question, the take home, it's not as simple as, oh yes, I should spend more time doing church things and less time doing secular things. Because you know what, it's possible to do the church things in a way that's all about personal ambition. And it's possible to go to your Monday to Friday job, starting off the day praying, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. So I think as you seek to apply this, reflect on your heart. Reflect on what your life is built around. Reflect on what drives you. Reflect on whether your comfort or God's mission is more important. And most importantly of all, reflect on whose strength you rely on. See, surely the Tower of Babel is a lesson in the weakness of human effort. Whereas the key to investing in God's grand design is to begin each day in prayer saying, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I can't do this. I need the strength that your Spirit provides. Because in the end, whatever is built by our own efforts, whatever is all about making a name for ourselves, all that in the end will be unfinished, will be left behind. Whereas the city that God is building, the temple that's being brought together by the Holy Spirit, the grand project where Jesus, the Lamb, is at the center, that's what will last forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are weak, but you are able to bring together a people for your name, for your glory, for your fame, through your power. Please use us, give us strength to trust, to witness. Father, please enable us to recognize those parts of our life which are all about our glory and not about yours. Father, please teach us to set our hearts and our hope